Chapter 27, Water Games. Madhukanta said, "Then the glorious women of Krishna, whose perspiration after the rasa dance produced small rivers, went to the bank of the Yamuna, which served the unlimited gopis immediately and became full of nectar. Krishna and the young woman should overcome shyness and enter my waters." Yamuna then suddenly overflooded her banks. The gathering of gopis, like lightning with the beauty of their bodies, gossiping like jacata birds along with Krishna, like a cloud with rumbling thunder, was like the approaching monsoon. The gathering while entering the monsoon waters and holding hands shone brilliantly. There was the soft sound of laughter, pulling each other into the water, slackened limbs and intense shivering. Before the gopis immersed themselves in the water, such symptoms were present. But now these previous symptoms were like copies of the real symptoms. When the gopis with arched brows did not enter the water, Krishna splashed them with water. They perceived that he was quickly approaching and had multiplied into many forms which were holding water. Going into the water, Krishna, who was giving them thick rasa, sprinkled them with water. Pierced by the arrows of water, the gopis then entered the river. The restless-eyed gopis, waist-deep in the water, blocked his approach like wives of the Krishna Savadir. When the reflections of the gopis' eyes mixed with the fish could not distinguish themselves from the reflected eyes. As if envious, the fish touched the limbs of the frightened gopis for a moment. This gave pleasure to Krishna's eyes. They moved like swans. Their breasts were like chakravaka birds. Their eyes were like fish. Their belts were like cranes. The gopis defeated those animals whose jurisdiction now became perfected by the gopis. Their faces defeated lotuses. Their faces were superior to all lotuses since those faces were the cause of the moon. When the gopis laughed while glancing around, Krishna began a water fight with them. In the Yamuna's water, dark like a cloud splashed water on lightning, and lightning splashed water on a cloud. Astonishing, astonishing! Is this some dramatic performance? Look! The women of heaven began to speak in this way. Up to their necks in the water, the lotus-faced women were adhering to Krishna like lotuses in contact with a bee. When Krishna showed boldness, he defeated the golden gopis. They then hid in a forest of golden lotuses. But then Krishna surpassed their tactic. He hid himself in a forest of blue lotuses. Did they not spread illusion during the water play? For their faces were fragrant like lotuses, had the beauty of lotuses, and exuded sweetness like lotuses. When Krishna with difficulty caught a gopi in the lotus forest, her exclamations revealed both joy and sorrow. One gopi, confounded by the sudden appearance of Krishna's face, seeing that she had attained the blue lotus face with a soft smile, began to relish that sweetness. She hid herself from the other gopis who had a similar desire to relish his face. The embrace, which was not attained before, now spontaneously became possible in the water. When a gopi submerged herself in deep water, Krishna rescued her. The gopis all together went into the water up to their breasts and desired to defeat him by taking large amounts of water in their hands. Somehow they were victorious, but were finally defeated by him. Krishna, like a bee, drank the lotus faces of the gopis, though they were closed. On some pretext, Krishna drank the nectar of the faces of the fickle-eyed gopis. He wounded them on their chests with his nails. When he suddenly embraced them, they were pierced by the arrows of love. When Krishna, whose arms extended to his knees, came close to the mouths of the gopis beside him, their hands came close to the water. When Radha placed her sakis in front in order to join the water play, dear Krishna became stunned instead of splashing water. The gopis did not know that Radha had stunned Krishna without effort while eager to defeat him in the water fight, for Krishna showed that he was actually victorious. When Radha raised the lotus to throw at Krishna, who showed his lotus eyes covered by his locks of hair, a bee in the lotus buzzed loudly. In fear, she fled, and Krishna followed her to her phalanx of sakis and entered into it. When the gopis' eyes became red from the water fight, they displayed attractive smiles and loud laughs. With beauty heightened by the battle of love, their rasa seemed like anger. Just as he had done to the girls worshipping Katyayani, Krishna, though alone, fought with millions of gopis in the water and then quickly came to the shore to steal their clothing. Making sounds of the swan, having water as their clothing, having lotus faces and loose locks of hair, they stood like lotus stalks. Cries arose in the water and on the shore. The gopis in the water made sounds like jataka birds praying, and Krishna on the shore gently rumbled like thunder. Laughing profusely, showing his great happiness and friendship, he gave back the clothing to several gopis at a time, cloth by cloth. Seeing their bodies slender as sticks dressed in one cloth and gazing at their face, he laughed harder. When Krishna laughed, the gopis became completely unsteady, partially covering themselves with the cloth. They became flushed in complexion and stunned, and while softly giggling, falsely cried without tears while showing pride in their eyes. With the gopis' desires completely fulfilled, which attracted the three worlds, the women of heaven then began showering baskets full of the best clothing, ornaments, and garlands. Seeing the excellent cloth, he became most joyful, and accepting the cloth and enjoying it, he gave it to the gopis. When he gave them the cloth, they became more beautiful. Their bodies glowed from immersion in the water. By wearing the fine white cloth and by possessing effulgent breasts and shining locks of hair. In this way, the gopis of Krishna showed great beauty at that time. The great beauty of Krishna and the gopis, with many ornaments, attracted all eyes. When the devatas saw Krishna and the gopis in new clothing and new youth, they thought of them as bride and groom and began showering flowers. The doe-eyed gopis then spoke crookedly in order to play in the forest. O Krishna, do you have a commander called Cupid? Show me this person whom you say is your friend. Krishna then spoke with a profound smile to Radha. O Radha, you do not want to see Cupid. Look at the followers of Cupid, attained by your pious acts, and show respect. The trees and creepers, like husbands and wives of a village, are welcoming you as a guest. They take you as their own, waving new leaves to beckon you. This village throws flowers on the path to make you comfortable. The flocks of cuckoos are all calling you nicely with their sweet voices. The bees are joyful, buzzing like the playing of a drum, and hundreds of peacocks are dancing everywhere like their chief friends. The master of the night, the moon, shines its light everywhere. The path increases in width, desiring your foot dust. The gopis remain with Krishna within many dwellings in the auspicious forest near the Yamuna. There he manifested pastimes with his beloved gopis on each consequent day. Coming from their nests, the bee couples followed each of them while singing auspicious songs. Ah, the bee couples followed them to the pleasant bank endowed with forests. Snigdhakanta said, at the end of night, not much time remained. Krishna and the gopis wandered about incessantly. Krishna boldly desired amorous pastimes. What did he and his lovers do at the end of night? Madhukanta said, after a description of the forests, there is a description of their pastimes. When Krishna played hide-and-seek with the gopis, this pastime produced opportunities to be alone, where a couple would engage in intimate affairs. While searching in the forest, the gopis achieved Krishna in various forms and various ways, and taking him into a grove, went far away from the eyes of others. Any gopi who was alone with Krishna and also saw Krishna alone with another gopi was unaware of anything wrong because that gopi considered what she saw to be a tamal tree with a golden creeper. The sounds made by the couple's ornaments were covered by the chirping of flocks of birds. The sounds of love were covered by the warbling of the cuckoo. Their forms were hidden by the groves of tamal and champaka trees. A forest filled with dense darkness is not impossible for others to enter, but a forest which increased the loving exchanges of the couples by the light of the moon in the bower was impossible for others to enter. In private bowers, all the couples of Krishna and gopis enjoyed. Their words were pleasant and playful. The hairs stood up on their pure, trembling bodies. They became most unsteady because of the desire for amorous sports. All the rasas, such as astonishment, fear, anger, ghastliness, parental, friendly and servant, love, compassion, heroism, comedy, peace, and conjugal ras, suitably manifested for tasting as they were favorable to the conjugal ras. Wandering in the forest, lit by the waves of light from the full moon, in order to observe the remarkable natures of various known and unknown birds, beasts, and plants, Krishna became favorable for enjoying with the gopis, astonishment. He revealed his absorption in his task. By forcibly entering the forest to pick flowers filled with honey and covered with intoxicated bees, and to produce pleasure for the gopis having trembling hearts, fear. His lotus eyes turned red and spread to his Makara earrings in punishing the bold bees using the rough stem of his play lotus on seeing the women incessantly crying on being bitten by daring bees. Anger. Relishing the bodies of the women with beautiful faces and attractive gestures, he looked with disgust at the land lotuses. Ghastliness. He began creating sweet sounds on experiencing the sweet messages sent by parrots, which he could understand. Parental. He shed tears of pain on seeing the fullness of the beautiful buds swinging because of intense emotion caused by his own pastimes. Compassion. He fired long arrows of love by his glances at the women with thighs like banana trees in order to cut their deep pride mixed with impudence, heroism. He began to laugh on seeing similarity of rules as couples of animals engaged in amorous courtship. Comedy. His eyes became contracted and then closed out of detachment on seeing the various people's happiness arising from touching each other. Peace. He was like an ocean of anurag, awakened on experiencing the happiness of the women as they slept from fatigue after enjoyment. Conjugal. In this way, Krishna enjoyed with the gopis. Seeing the bee kissing the creepers and the parrot indulging in pomegranate fruit, Krishna became unsteady with desire and longed to enjoy the gopis. Seeing from far off the bees drinking the nectar while biting the flower intensely, Krishna's gopis experience strong desire. I do not think there is the power to describe. Seeing the full moon night, the forest of Vrindavan, all the bowers, all the beds, all the couples of Krishna and the gopis, and their pastimes of prema, my mind immediately gives up its power of inquiry, and then, in bewilderment, I quickly develop a choked throat concerning these topics. By what means can these things be seen? Here, all these topics will be described generally, but one must describe some particulars. As long as Radha's wealth of auspicious qualities do not make an appearance, the auspicious forms and qualities of the other gopis can be described. But when Radha appears, her wealth of auspiciousness cannot be described at all, what to speak of other topics relating to her. All the gopis, fearing that other people would come, restricted their absorption in the pastimes. They then took off their pastime clothing and came out of the creeper bowers to a natural piece of land. Leaving the bowers, they noticed that the cruel, pain-inflicting sun was rising. In the eastern direction, a slight pink glow had covered the moon. It appeared that the moon was quickly falling with its rays and was about to set. The night lotuses were wilting. Thus the gopis, understanding the night with the rasa dance had ended, also withered. The women of heavenly planets spoke. When a person of low stature forcibly reaches a high position, he will certainly fall. The moon, thinking it had surpassed the beauty of the gopis' faces, fell from the sky. The gopis shamed the blue lotuses by their glances. Thus their friend the moon, seeing the lotuses tormented, fell into the ocean. The gopis said, "The sun, destroying the constellations and our luster, is quickly rising and spreading in the sky. Krishna, ornamented with fresh youth, attractive to women, and endowed with excellent nature, seeing the condition of the gopis, who were emotionless like dolls, and endowed with abundant prema, wiped away their tears. He consoled them with sweet words. If I embrace you in my arms continually, and also fulfill my desire, I will not be satisfied in my heart. Though my desire is fulfilled, friends will create unlimited obstacles on seeing us. Therefore, go to your homes, and we will meet again. Do not experience melancholy." Taking each other's hands as previously, the gopis then returned to Braj with attraction for the pastimes in their heart. Though controlled internally by the gopis, Krishna served his relatives since he had the quality of a great person. The narrow paths to the village separated the gopis. The millions of gopis, separated from their friends, were not even aware of this. Some of Radha's unlimited friends went on a special path to a place near their bowers and their groves and played for a while, without going home. What did Krishna not do when the gopis were about to go? I cannot count the actions. He embraced them firmly and kissed them skillfully. He spoke words instilling trust and gave them great respect. They spoke with choked voices, quote, "O Krishna, it is not possible that we could attain you, but still we attained you. Please hear our request. Civilized people do not give up what they have achieved." Thinking of their separation, Krishna and the gopis embraced, soaking each other with their tears. Thus their external bodies became moist. Thus the melted hearts of both appeared internally and externally. The gopis, along with Krishna, understood the dawn had appeared by the sweet chirping of birds. Astonished with trembling and tears, they decided to separate, but this caused unlimited thoughts. On separating, both parties looked at each other with crooked glances. Because of constant tears, the tears became exhausted. They went to their houses. This is not astonishing, for accomplished people can perform all tasks without effort. Krishna experienced great pain on separation from his many lovers, but separation from Radha produced a disease which included all other diseases. When the gopis saw the fast approach of Brahma Muhurta after pastimes on the bank of the Yamuna in the autumn moonlight, their minds began to burn. Hiding their forms and activities on the path, attached to the playful pastimes, but with desire held within, showing a little fatigue externally, they entered Braj. The reciter concluded the description of the Rasa festival. Externally it was finished, but internally the Rasa continued. This is the reason. The women, having ended the Rasa dance in pain by their household duties, became absorbed in the Rasa dance. The dancing, singing, and music, complete with all pastimes, appeared directly in their houses. In those Rasa pastimes, Krishna was the only hero. The gopis who defeated Lakshmi and the Anurag generated were faultless. Poets may describe all this completely, but Shukadev does not think that any of them can perfectly describe those pastimes. Snigdhakanta said, "Oh, what happened to the four young boys, Dama, Sudama, Vasudama, and Kinkini?" Madhukanta said, "Previously they climbed a very high tree. Then, understanding that Krishna was going home, silent, keeping their distance, they followed him." Madhukanta, summarizing the Rasa pastimes, spoke till the end of night. With concern that he had distorted the Rasa pastimes by his descriptions, he folded his hands and spoke. O Radha, filled with all fortune, you have attained a husband endowed with all qualities whom the women of the three worlds serve because of his eagerness for the rasa dance. Krishna then called the two reciters, who stood with folded hands awaiting orders, and rewarded them with ornaments worn by the gopis. The assembly, delighted by the festival of giving, though they were individuals, appeared to multiply their forms because of the quickness of giving. Everyone returned to their houses to take rest at Brahma Muhurta time.